Hi, and welcome to second part of Module 3, Instance Architecture. In this second part, I would like to discuss how we can control resources on the SQL Server 2012 by using Resource Governor. Resource Governor is a very interesting functionality that allows us to control resource usage by various workload groups. Later on, we will talk about client and server interactions and how processes are used to execute your queries, and what are the background processes and threads, and what are their functions in both Oracle and in SQL Server, and how they compare against one another. Let's start with Resource Governor. Resource Governor is an Enterprise Edition feature that allows you to set CPU and memory consumption limits for various workload types that execute against your database. If you have multiple various applications running against the same instance of SQL Server, but they have differing performance needs and different query response time needs, it is important to provide them with consistent performance and some workload prioritization. So the Resource Governor allows you to prioritize workload depending on the need, provide predictable performance because your workload is not affected by other types of workload that are running on the same instance. It can also help in preventing what is known as a runaway query, a one big query that kind of monopolizes the server and affects the rest of the workload. And it can also be used in accounting for resource usage by various applications, various users, and various workload types. Resource Governor provides all that by basically classifying the various workloads and assigning them to workload groups, and then assigning those workload groups to specific resource pools and where we can set various resource consumption limits. So for instance, every time a connection comes to the server, that connection goes through a process known as classification. That classification is done by a user-defined function. It's a function that we have to write, or you as a DBA has to write, and you provide your own logic for differentiating one workload from another. It might be based on the user, it might be based on the application, it might be based on where they're connecting from or which protocol they're used to connect to, connect to the server. Once you classify that workload as belonging to one of the workload groups, those workload groups are assigned to so-called resource pools. And resource pools define the limits about how much memory and how much CPU time can be used by a particular set of workload groups that share the same resource pool. Now, I know this sounds complicated, so I would like to illustrate that by using an example. In this demonstration, I would like to show you how to configure Resource Governor to provide for varying levels of resource consumption for various workload groups. Each of those workload groups will be running exactly the same workload, but we will see how we can readjust the CPU time consumption for each of the workload groups. So, on my instance of SQL Server 2012, I will make sure that my Resource Governor is currently disabled. Then I will create separate logins for my various applications. Essentially, I will use those logins later to classify each connection as belonging to one of the workload groups. So I'm creating three separate users, OLTP user, DBA user, and the reporting user. Each of those users has access to AdventureWorks 2012 database, some basic permissions there, so they can connect to that database. I need those users and those logins because this is the base on which I will perform my prioritization and classification. Then, for each of those users, I create a separate resource pool. Each of those resource pools, and let me just close the Object Explorer here, each of the resource pools has a different set of limitations. So, for instance, the OLTP pool has a minimum CPU percent of 10 and a maximum CPU percent of 30. The DBA pool has a minimum CPU percent of 5 and a maximum CPU percent of 10. And the same goes for memory. Each of them has certain limits on the memory consumption for the memory that is consumed by this particular resource pool while executing the queries. So in this case, I create those three resource pools, each with a different set of limits. I can verify that they were created by querying the resource governor resource pools catalog view. Now notice that apart from the three resource pools that I've just created, there are also two predefined resource pools that have essentially no limits, where the minimum is zero and the maximum is 100. It's internal and default. Internal resource pool is used by any internal workload, any system processes that run within your SQL Server instance. And the default pool is used by other workloads that were not classified as belonging to one of the predefined pools. So, in addition to the resource pools where I set certain limitations for CPU and memory consumption, I also create workload groups, OLTP, DBA, and reporting. Each of those groups is using the appropriate resource pool. So I basically have workload groups mapping one-to-one with the resource pools I have just created. In addition to the limits that are set on the resource pools themselves, I also use the max DOP to limit the amount of CPU or the degree of parallelism that queries in a particular workload group can use. So in any case, I create the workload groups. I can verify that they were created and that they exist. So I have three workload groups in addition to the internal and default predefined workload groups. Now I have to create my classifier function. This is a very important step. This classifier function that you create in the master database has all the logic that is needed to classify the connection as belonging to one of our workload groups. So in this case, this classifier function is simple and is based on the username of the connecting user. So every time the connection comes to the server, the login that is used to connect to the server will determine which of the connection, which of the workload groups will be used for that connection. So I create that classifier function. I can make sure that the classifier function is not assigned yet. So I will assign it by saying alter resource governor and specifying that function as a classifier function and reconfiguring the resource governor essentially enables the resource governor in this case. That classifier function means that every time the connection is made to the server, this function is executed, and based on the results of that function and the value that this function returns, that particular connection is assigned to one workload group or another. So now let's try to simulate a various workload groups. Let's start by executing this as my administrator user. So I execute this using Windows Authentication. This is a very simple workload. It is a CPU-only workload. It doesn't perform any I/O. It will be just reading data, counting the number of rows in the SysObjects catalog view. So this will be very fast, and it will be essentially trashing my CPU. If I run this workload right now, you can see that I will be using 100% of my CPU. So this workload, if I stop the my workload temporarily, you can see that the CPU usage drops almost to zero. And if I start it, it uses 100% of the CPU, so it basically monopolizes the server. This is because resource governor throttling of the CPU consumption only kicks in whenever there is a another workload that you compete against. Only then the limits are enforced, and resource governor makes sure that each of the workload each of the workloads gets at least its minimum CPU percentage. So I will basically run the same query using different workloads. So I'm going to connect this session as the DBA user. This is this will be running as the DBA user, so this this connection will be classified as the DBA workload. Another connection will run as the reporting user, and therefore will be using the reporting tool pool. I'm sorry. So now I'm connecting as the reporting user. I'm not starting those workloads just yet. And then finally, my fourth connection to the server will be running as the OLTP OLTP user. Okay, so I have four connections to the server. I can even verify that by querying sys.dm.exec connections. I can see, I just have to execute that as the administrator with the right permissions. So you can see that I have various connections there, and each of those windows will be running the same workload, but each of them will be getting slightly different amount of CPU time based on the classification and based on the limits that was set in my resource governor configuration script here. To demonstrate this, I will start a performance monitor, and one of the counters that the performance monitor offers in this case is a statistics for each of the workload groups. So instance 01, resource pool stats. I want statistics for CPU usage by each of the DBA, default, internal, OLTP, and reporting pools. So I have five pools in my resource governor configuration, and I would like to see how much CPU is each of those using. So I'm going to add all five as counters. And we can see, we can start by running the default pool. So I'm going to start by running my my workload in the default workload group, and you can see that immediately the CPU usage for the default resource pool went up to almost exactly 100%. So basically, this resource pool is right now maxing out my single CPU on this virtual machine. If I now start the DBA workload, the consumption is readjusted, and I can see that the DBA pool is now getting its guaranteed 10% of CPU. So the default workload gets more, but the DBA pool gets the 10% that it was guaranteed by specifying the minimum CPU percent of 5. So it basically gets its guaranteed 5 plus some portion of what's remaining. That portion is generally based on the max CPU percent. By the way, max CPU percent is not a hard limit. It is used to decide how the any remaining extra CPU time will be divided. So I'm running at 100% of CPU power right now, but that CPU power is consumed inequally. So basically, the default resource pool in this case gets a lot more of the CPU time than my DBA pool. So let's now run the reporting user, and the reporting user should get at least 10%. So if I run this third workload, the consumption readjusts once more, and we can see that the reporting pool is getting 20%, and the default pool dropped to only about 69 or 70%. And then finally, I run the fourth workload, which is the OLTP user. That's the one that had the biggest amount of... Wrong button. I wanted to run this. And the OLTP pool was guaranteed 10% of the CPU with the max CPU percent of 30. So it will get slightly more CPU than the reporting pool. And we can verify that by looking at my OLTP pool. So right here, OLTP pool gets about 30%. The reporting pool gets about 20%. DBA pool gets about 10%. And then the default pool gets the remaining 40. So you can see how by using the resource governor, I was able to affect the amount of CPU time that each of the workload gets. So it's not a simple, you get 5 connections, so each of the 5 connections gets 20%. We were actually able to prioritize workload and say which of the workload running exactly the same query could get more CPU versus the other. This is, of course, a very simple configuration. In real-world scenario, it would be probably a little bit more complicated, but it would allow you to prioritize your high-importance workload over lower-importance workloads. So let me just stop my workloads here one by one. By the way, if I stop the default pool first, what will happen is that the default dropped to zero, and the time, all the CPU time that was that's remaining after the default pool the default workload is gone, was divided equally among the other pools. So all the other pools went up to like 33%, and they get more or less equal share right now. So let me just quickly stop the workload so that we're not crashing the CPU unnecessarily, and switch back to my slides. So in this demo, you've seen an example of how using a resource governor, you can prioritize different types of workload. Now, about client database interaction. In Oracle, there are two possible methods of interaction with the database. Oracle either has a dedicated server where there is a dedicated server process that handles a particular client connection, or a shared server that uses shared processes to execute your queries. Of course, you have various background processes and various components that are involved in query execution. SQL Server does not have a dedicated server execution mode. SQL Server only uses shared processes and has a pool of worker threads that are available to all your connections. As the connections come to the server, they get whatever worker threads are available, and those worker threads are responsible for executing the queries. Of course, having the resource governor, allows you to prioritize and make sure that the workload gets the amount of CPU power that is required. So in SQL Server, the client database interaction is performed by accepting connections, and those connections are handled by the networker thread. And the networker thread assigns those connections to the appropriate CPU schedulers and the worker threads that run on those schedulers. And those worker threads, basically a pool of worker threads that is available to run your queries, has the functionality of the shared server processes in Oracle. So all your connections go through the same open data services and connect to the relational engine, and they kind of run within one environment and using one pool of worker threads. They all share the same database cache. They all access the same cache in terms of data, and they talk to each of the they talk to the storage engine using an internal ODBC provider. When it comes to background processes, both Oracle and SQL Server have a number of background processes that are responsible for performing certain important tasks. So there is, for instance, a database writer and checkpoint that is responsible for writing your data to the database files. There is an archiver that is responsible for archiving your log files. There is a log writer that is responsible for writing to your redo log files in Oracle. There is a number of other processes that run in the background and are responsible for monitoring usage and monitoring jobs, recovering your database, etc., etc. SQL Server has a very similar set of background processes. So in SQL Server, you have a log writer that writes transaction log records to the transaction log file. You have a lazy writer and checkpoint that are responsible for writing to the to the database files. You have set of worker threads. You have also certain other background processes, such as, for instance, the deadlock monitor, and a number of SQLOS related processes that are responsible for monitoring resource usage within the engine. Now, if you would like to compare those background processes between SQL Server and Oracle, you could arrive at a table similar to this. And each of the Oracle background processes here is compared to an equivalent in SQL Server. So, for instance, the Oracle's process monitor is handled by the SQL OS itself. There is a resource monitor thread that runs in SQL OS. Database writers in Oracle, that's the lazy writer that handles all the data cache and writes any changes to disk. There is a separate checkpoint process, and those are mandatory. Recoverer, there is no recoverer in SQL Server. This or similar functionality is handled by the Microsoft Distributed Transaction Coordinator. And Microsoft DTC is actually an extra separate process. It is a process external to the database engine itself. So it's not a background process within the SQL Server. It's actually an external component to which SQL Server might be communicating. In many cases, there is no need to communicate with Distributed Transaction Coordinator because it's only used if you have distributed transactions. So if you have transactions involving more than two resource managers, if you have two instances of SQL Server and you perform a transaction that spans those two instances, in that case, you might be using DTC to coordinate that distributed transaction. Any transaction that happens within a single engine of SQL Server does not need to be coordinated, even if it spans two databases. Another mandatory process in SQL Server is, of course, the log writer. As in Oracle, there is a log writer that writes to transaction log files as our transactions happen. Now, the job queue processes in Oracle are all handled by the SQL Server agent. So the SQL Server agent is, again, a component, a process that is separate from the database engine itself. From a database engine perspective, it's just another client application. And the SQL Server agent is a job that is it's a component that is responsible for all the job scheduling and job execution. It's basically a task scheduler for SQL Server. So whenever you want to automate certain administrative tasks, whenever you want to automate your backups, for instance, you can use SQL Server agent to schedule those jobs and run them on schedule, capture certain alerts, notify administrators. However, the SQL Server agent is in itself optional. It is installed for you, but you don't have to run it. If you have no jobs that need to be scheduled, you can run with the SQL Server agent disabled. So from that perspective, those threads are, those background processes are optional. And then again, they're not really background processes if a SQL Server agent is a separate process on its own. Now, the parallel query slave processes functionality from Oracle is handled by just the normal SQL Server worker threads. In other words, if you run a parallel query in Oracle, it is run by separate process type. In SQL Server, just the normal worker threads will be assigned to run various parts of your parallel query, and they all will coordinate with one another. So if you have a query that goes parallel, your query will use more than one worker thread. It can actually use many of the worker threads that are available on the server. The dispatcher functionality is handled by the networker thread, and that networker thread makes handles connections to your server and assigns them to appropriate schedulers running on different NUMA nodes. And then finally, the shared server functionality are the worker threads themselves. And actually, the worker threads, the pool of the worker threads that is available on the server is used for running all the processes alike, the background processes and the background threads, as well as normal queries and normal connections coming from your client applications. Now, let me show you some of those background processes. We can take a look at the sysdm exec requests and see some of those background processes as they happen in SQL Server. We won't be able to see all of them, but we will be able to see some of them. If I select from sys.dm exec requests, which are all the requests, not only user requests, but all the sessions that are running in the server, all the processes. That's the wrong user. That user doesn't have access to everything. So there we go. Running as administrator and being able to see everything that happens, you can see that I have a number of background threads that happen inside my SQL Server. So even though I'm not really running anything apart from the query I've just run, that was the only client query that was run against that that was running against that instance at that time. I actually have 34 different processes running, most of them background processes. So I have background threads such as log writer, recovery writer, resource monitor, certain X event timers. We have lazy writer. We have log monitor, etc., etc. There's, of course, a checkpoint. All those are background processes that are responsible for performing certain background threads on this database instance and monitoring resource usage and making sure that everything runs smoothly. So stuff like, for instance, system health monitor. So those processes are visible as normal user requests. If we run another query and query sysdm os tasks, you can also see all those worker threads that are consumed. So basically, even though there is only one query running on my system at the moment, there are actually 47 worker threads that are active within that instance, and they all run some of those background processes. So in this demo, you've seen we were able to identify some of the background processes in SQL Server. So in part two of module three, we discussed controlling resources with Resource Governor and administering Resource Governor in order to prioritize different types of workload. We've discussed client interaction with the database and what are the various threads that are responsible for running background processes. Thank you very much for watching, and I invite you to watch module 4, where we will discuss various data objects.